In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Google reasons my kid is crying. Seriously, look it up online sometime. You'll get a bunch of funny pictures of tearful tots with profound captions. Toddlers bawling because someone ate all the muffins. It was him. She didn't fit through the doggy door. Note the open house door right next to her. I won't let him eat styrofoam. She's not allowed to kiss the toilet. She dropped a receipt we got from the gas station. There was a hot dog hidden in his cornbread. Mommy let me brush my teeth 5 times, but drew the line at 6. The slide was too slow. I bet you guys have experienced this. Couldn't get the last Cheerio on the spoon. This is my favorite. He's crying because I wouldn't let him push his fingers into my throat until I make that noise he really likes when I can't breathe. So I'm sure that you agree the world needs more pictures of kids crying. Because crying babies tell the truth. I wonder whose pictures they are, though. Whose baby picture looks like one of those? Belly up on the ground by himself, kicking about like a beetle on its back. Nothing but a diaper on. Full drawers, but empty tummy, nose running and drool covered. Whose baby picture is this? With the chubby cheeks and the skinny little legs, floppy and fragile, hollering herself red-faced. Difficult, discontent, disruptive. Whose baby picture is it? Demanding, depriving, depending. In need and unable. Whose baby picture is this? Isaiah says it's Israel's. Isaiah pictures Israel as a baby. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel. You have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Already in the beginning, in chapter 1, Isaiah says, children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. Reasons why the Israelites are crying? They fattened themselves until they grew too large to harvest the food that got them large. They pampered themselves until they became too lazy to forge the furniture that left them lazy. Reasons why the Israelites are tantruming? They trampled upon their laws and morals until they left those laws and morals powerless to protect them. They swallowed the poisons they took in their mouths to spit out at each other. The leaders who got them rich by cheating then cheated them out of even their rightful share. The officials they bribed to favor them betrayed them because of a bigger bribe. Reasons why the Israelites are sulking, it's because they took such advantage of one another that they left nobody to defend them against strangers. The treasures that they raided from their neighbors have attracted raiders from other neighborhoods, and the bullies to whom they handed over lunch money went ahead and helped themselves to dinner and breakfast. Reasons why Israel's gone hysterical. They cast golden idols too stiff to stand up for them. They carved wooden gods too heavy to help. They averted their ears from the divine command so often they could no longer hear the heavenly promises. And the Lord, who has might enough to deliver them, also has might enough to destroy them. They're just toddlers, juveniles, babes. This is Israel's
baby picture.
Does it look familiar? Whose baby picture is this? Silly Israel. At least we don't bow down before graven images. Okay, maybe we worship our professions and serve prosperity and revolve ourselves around property, popularity, and pleasure, but at least we haven't forgotten entirely the words and the ways of Almighty God. Okay, maybe we dismiss the doctrines that our national atmosphere finds offensive, but at least we aren't losing the lines of right and wrong. Okay, maybe we concern ourselves instead with what is convenient and comfortable and profitable, but at least we didn't abandon widowed or fatherless neighbors. Okay, maybe we keep them at a cushioned distance because of the controversies and the costs that they come with, but at least we don't exploit the impoverished or the outsiders among us. Okay, maybe we use their emergencies to excuse our excesses, but at least we don't cheat and steal. Okay, maybe we save for our own later the extra that could save the life of another, because it's easier to designate policies and agencies that deal with those people. Thankfully, we don't act like Israel. Good thing we don't behave like those sinners. No, we have become even more dreadful. Our people fear public opposition more than God's disapproval. Our leaders revere prophets more than the prophets. Our culture blesses death as some kind of salvation from suffering. Our country gratifies the appetites of the sinful flesh like it's a sacrament. Our experts idolize autonomy and control, even when self-expression means self-destruction. Our celebrities have exalted sexual license to a religion. Our communities abort our little brothers in the name of progress. Our world euthanizes our sisters for the sake of uniformity. Our consciences often permit it. Our minds justify, rationalize it. Our mouths lie silent, and our hands stand idly by. Whose baby picture is this? It's ours. It's our kind. We are impaired at all ages, our race compromised, whatever our differing appearances, our species completely incapacitated by the sinful nature. Our whole race is weakened from conception until the last breath. It's as if we are all in vitro. We are all immature, especially against adversity. It's as if we are all in utero, difficult and discontent, especially in the face of pain and loss. It's as if we are all terminal patients, completely dependent. This baby picture shows us from age to age the same. Whose baby picture is this? It's also God's. God's been a baby too. God became a baby. He has that kind of heart. He has that kind of way. Isaiah introduces embryo Jesus, gestated in Mary's womb, the virgin shall conceive. Infant Jesus wore diapers and flailed in a manger. Chubby-cheeked Lord Jesus toddled. Skinny-legged Lord Jesus had a childhood. Savior Jesus, gentle, relentless in his adolescence. Isaiah reminds of Savior Jesus, delicate as a child, determined as a child, even in adulthood, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Christ Jesus, humbled in the garden, vulnerable under the law. Christ Jesus, broken on the cross, incapacitated by crucifixion. God got weakened, deadened, defenseless, dependent, like us. Behold, one of us. The Almighty made himself tiny so that he might draw near to each of us. The Most High made himself mild so that he might dwell with all of us. He shares in our ailments and our pains. He suffers with us in our discontent, in our hysterics. He saves us from our own deficits and failures. This Father will have you despite your sulking and tantruming. This Savior assumes your difficulties as his own. He accepts your differences. This Lord takes on your immaturities and takes away your sins. During your disrupting and demanding, he still welcomes you and wants you. Through your emergencies and your excesses, he respects you and protects you. He embraces even those of us who participate in abortions. Jesus cherishes us even when we permit murderous experiments and promote assisted suicides. God forgives that. God forgives you. And this proclaims that the littlest among us is special. He loves you. And this proves that the least of these is precious. This grace pronounces babes and aged, impaired and unable, humankind beginning to end, pronounces us priceless. Whose baby pictures are these? They're all God's. They're all God's babies. We are all his little ones. You have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Now, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will still carry you. By resurrection, he has removed all of our not enoughness. As high as the heavens are above the earth, with his everlasting presence, Jesus releases from any limits as far as the east is from the west. Because he lives and he reigns, every human being has this identity, this purpose, belonging to and beloved by him who has neither rival nor equal, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, from age to age, the same. Take it.
Amen.
Trust it. You are innocent to Jesus. Know it. Own it. You are righteous in Christ. Receive it. Believe it. You are holy before God. Life is never a sentence. Life is always a whole story. And if us, then any and every. Israel's crying kids and babes await. These are their pictures too. They look like us. They look like Jesus. And he calls them each by name, just as he calls us by his name. He is their survival and their salvation, the least of these, just as much as he is your hope and healing. These are somebody's babies. Someone important and powerful loves these babies. And even when no one else holds them, when no one else calls them his baby, he whispers it, he sings it, he repeats it, he shouts it in frightened bellies and frozen labs, whether aching or aging, afraid or ashamed, alone or unaware. God wraps himself around especially the ones who feel their frailty. Public opinion and political controversy cannot change these facts. Scientific findings and technological innovations do not alter these truths. Social experiences and economic circumstances will not modify this God. As it was to patriarchs and prophets, as it has been to the apostles and martyrs, reformers, forefathers and foremothers, as it is to the saints and angels, so it is to postmoderns and nobodies like ours. From age to age, his grace prevails the same. You can speak this truth. And if I might especially address our deaconess candidates, you get to show this love. You share this gospel, and Jesus himself shines through your courage and your compassion. We all have the privilege to give this gospel voice. We have the delight of putting it into practice. And so, in your individual conversations, in your civic advocacy, at congregations, across communities, you will locate the babies in these pictures. By your acts of service and sharing, opening your hands, your hearts, your home, you will take hold of heaven's treasures. With words of warning or winning over, encouragements or assurances, you will cradle the Lord's own little ones. While you notice and visit and listen, you will collect them into his own album, into his own household. Do you wonder what to say? Are you worried about how to think? Do you want to know when to do it? That's why you're here. Let Lutherans for Life show and tell. For 40 years, for two generations, we have found the words and done the work connecting life issues to scripture and doctrine. Now you enlist in the purpose. Participate in the hope. Experience the joy. Watch the tears wipe away. Walk together into the new creation. This paradise life is never ending. From age to age, the same. Amen. And now may the Lord, who has himself begun this good work in you, carry it on to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.